Let's do it to it. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Alright, that's pretty good. That's the best one.
I am sure.
Pizza, pizza.
Bingo! Showtime!
I don't put out as regularly.
It's about fucking time someone.
I'd like sweet on me.
I'll just have to tell them I'm not a thief. Just a perv.
You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a link it bad. For the show link, go direct to DLNGS.org. And I see channels at LinuxLink.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the cast is just about to begin.
Welcome to the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, wait, it's episode 1145. On the show tonight, we have Joel.
Good evening.
And we have Joe.
Yeah, I'm here.
Man, how many years doing this? I flubbed it up right there, right at the beginning. What a failure. What a failure.
We're professionals.
Speaking of failure, goodness gracious. Not a failure, actually. I didn't mention this, but like 3 shows ago, while we were doing the show, towards the end of the show, I started an in-place upgrade on my server, and so it's running Raspbian, and it's a Pi. It went perfectly well. I had absolutely no problems afterwards. Even though they say not, you know, they don't advocate for doing an in-place upgrade like that. I've always done in-place upgrades on all my systems, and I've generally not had problems. Unfortunately, the end of life on the version of Raspbian I upgraded to is, I think it's this month. So I got to do it again. And fingers crossed, it's going to hopefully go well. So that hasn't been a problem. I've been happy with that. We did have so 2 power outages for me. Like, it's a long time since I had a power outage, but we had 2 in the past month. One was because, I don't know, they have breakers on the poles out here. One tripped about a week and a half ago, and then last night one of my breakers tripped. I don't know what somebody was doing down here in the kitchen. They were cooking and other things. I don't know. Don't usually have that problem, but everything came back. One of the things I don't like is my network switch. For some reason, the TP-Link I have, and this was the same with the Unity too. It takes forever for that thing to boot up, and I don't know why. Like, I would think it could be a little faster, but it isn't, unfortunately. But everything came back up. The only problem I ever have with things coming back up is my NAS, where the Odroid I have still going strong with the external storage connected, is NFS shares out. And if the Odroid doesn't come up, like, so when the Odroid comes up, if it goes, like, it goes out with the power and it's doesn't, the UPS gets exhausted, what ends up happening is that the external drive doesn't seem to power on, so the Odroid comes up, and then I turn on the external drive, and for some reason, it just doesn't want to connect, so I have to reboot the Odroid. But then I have to make sure that the Odroid reboots and comes back in a certain time, because for some reason, the external drive will shut itself off. The external drive bays will, the NAS thing will just shut itself off, like, and then it won't allow anything to connect to it. So it is kind of a little juggling there. And since it's all headless, right, I don't have any... I'm not monitoring it, and I do have the ability to plug it into a monitor there with the HDMI cable, but I don't have it on, and then I got to go in there and click to put the cable in, and it's just an inconvenience.
It's a hassle. It's just a big hassle.
It is a hassle. It is a hassle, but it hasn't been an issue, so it all came back up. I was happy with that. I was happy with the work I did with enabling Dependabot. Now, you know, I don't make Dependabot, but configured it. I was kind of concerned on our WordPress repo, which is what our CMS runs on, WordPress, like I've said in the past. And the challenge with this one is it's not like our standard applications, because it is a WordPress instance of what's essentially under the WP content directory in a standard WordPress install. So that repo in and of itself is like, that's what that is. And then you got our plugins, which go under client MU plugins, is where we have our custom plugins for creating blocks and other things in there, our custom blocks. Those individual plugins, a good portion of them are our Node applications running React. So that was what we wanted to plug into our libraries. Now, eventually I'll probably add the PHP ones on there for a PHPCS that we have under there to keep those dependencies up to date. But I was concerned because when you're setting up Dependabot with secrets, right, it can't use the secrets that you've already set up in GitHub for your general users and work stuff like that and your general workflows. Dependabot has its own set of secrets. And so the secrets that we set up, that was done like 3 years ago. And I was the one who did it, right? But it was one of those things where for our integration tests, we had to have our service account, which is a JSON object, put in there under a secret. And I had to do it in a specific way to avoid it getting all messed up when it was added as a secret into the workflow. So luckily that wasn't a problem, but where I did mess up was in taking the one service account key, which is a JSON object. I was using the base64 encoded version of that. So on OS 10, where I did is I just take the file, I cat the file to base64, and then pipe it to pbcopy, then I just paste that right into the GitHub Dependabot secret. And what I didn't notice is I had a new line at the end of it. Like I had hit enter, so there was an extra line in there, and that caused a problem. Surprisingly, it didn't filter that out, but it caused a problem, so it wasn't able to connect. Which one secret out of all of them having an issue was fine by me. The other issue that I had was that once all the tests pass, we have to have it, we have it auto merge in if they all pass. And I thought I double checked this, but we had to enable the setting to allow commit merges on there, which wasn't. So when it tried to do that, it failed on the one PR. And what gets annoying about it, so luckily I set it to only do two updates or two pull request updates to begin with, get it all tested, is once you start having things like not work and fail and you need to rerun things, sometimes it can get a little finicky. If you kick off certain things or adjust certain things in the pull request that's made by Dependabot, then you become the owner. So then the rest of the workflow doesn't operate as expected, because instead of looking for Dependabot and finding Dependabot, it's finding you. So it skips some of that workflow. But anyway, got it up and running. It's running fine. It's fine tuning now of having to group things properly. So certain libraries need to be grouped together, like the WordPress libraries, additional WordPress libraries, they kind of need to be grouped together. So when one's updated, the rest of them are. Otherwise, you run into dependency conflicts and things like that if you're trying to do an upgrade one and the other ones aren't. Same thing with React. So it's just fine-tuning that stuff. Happy with that. Happy with that. What was the other thing, Joel?
I don't know.
You don't know. You don't know. You don't know.
You're talking about your Odroid or?
Oh, no, no. I was talking about my dependency update. The challenge with the dependency update in this scenario and trying to get these all in now, opening up a little wider, is they use a tool called Lerna, which kind of bundles up all the dependencies in the individual plugins into one centralized location at the top level to make it easier and faster to compile. Otherwise, you have to go into each individual plugin and run npm install on there. With Lerna, it grabs all of those and does a single compile and makes it centrally available at the top level, like the client MU plugins directory is where the node modules are, instead of in the individual plugins in there. Because when you run a node application, when it's looking for libraries, it will traverse the tree back up. If it doesn't find what it's looking for in node modules in where, like in the application directory, it will traverse the tree if it can up higher to see if there's a node module somewhere else. It's something to be aware of. It's caught us off guard a few times when somebody has moved their node dependency, a node modules directory out of where they expect it, like into the root directory, and then things start happening and they don't know why it's not working properly because it's going up to that one instead of the one in your application. But with Lerna, it'll bundle them all together in that one location so you don't have to go into each individual plugin to run npm install. So it takes something that would run in like 15 to 20 minutes to do all of them individually. It then it's like only just a few minutes pulling them all together. So that's handy. But then if you have a, if your dependency versions differ between your plugins for the same dependency, then it's going to take a lot longer because then it has to go out and get that version and do all the setup for that. And then the next one, a different version. So you want all the dependencies in that Lerna is using to be all at the same version to avoid extended compile times. Anyway, what else technology wise, Joel? You hate Linux, right?
I guess
what I'm hearing is we're getting a DRAM shortage.
That's again. What I'm hearing. Yeah, I heard
and
that.
Apple and one of the big contributors, Apple, has like cornered the market and has bought up a lot of DRAM, so like everybody else is kind of like.
Well, yes, no.
Supposedly, all of next year's RAM has already been purchased. Everything that's going to be made for next year.
That's kind of supposedly. Exaggeration. Supposedly, yeah. Because even Apple, like I have a friend that's trying to order a new MacBook, and even Apple is lengthening their delivery times. It's 2-3 weeks out for a new MacBook that used to be like days away. So, so that's, you know. I don't know if I'd completely blame it on Apple. I'd blame it more on some of the over-reliance and over-optimistic views of AI. No matter what, I mean, there was another story about, let's see, AI. I'm trying to remember. Let me see if I can find the story. But there was another story about AI breaking through something. It was like a security thing. Or through the guardrails that they had set up, but that's probably the biggest part of the problem. Yeah, I mean that's probably some of the biggest problems is that we have to realize is that AI is just usable by those who are against us than it is against. You know, for us using it as it should be, you know, for good purposes. So, and even then, like certain things AI does really well, like some of the things, tips it gave me for preparing for things was pretty good. But that's all going to depend on the resources that are in the LLM. But, you know, other times, like I've had it give me a response that's completely stupid, you know, especially when I'm using the stuff that's built into ServiceNow. That stuff is just ridiculous. But
ServiceNow is ridiculous.
Right. I don't necessarily disagree on that, but you know, like great example here is we just went through new version number. Well, actually, this isn't an AI thing, but I'm sitting here trying to update tickets, and I'm used to there being two fields, one for work notes that are not client-facing, and the other for things that are client-facing. Well, now you have to click a checkbox in order to make it client-facing or not client-facing. And that's dangerous because you could accidentally say something you're not supposed to say to the client, among other things. But you know what wins the internet this week? The Beaver Mini Mark in Beaver Creek, Ohio. Have you heard about that story?
No.
You know, apparently the Buc-ee's is suing the Beaver Mini Mark. You know, they just recently this year opened up their first Ohio store. In fact, they're going to have a second one in Mansfield. All right. And there's been this, Beaver Creek has a lot of things themed.
Wait, who's opening up? Beaver Creek or?
Buc-ee's? I just had a package show up.
No. What's going on is the Beaver Mini Mart has been there for like 20 plus years.
Oh,
right?
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So Buc-ee's opened their first location in Ohio. Now Buc-ee's is suing them because they might be confused with Buc-ee's, which is just not the case. The Beaver Mini Mart is teeny tiny. See if I can actually find a picture of the store. Or at the very minimum, a picture of the logo. There we go. Well, what's going on, though, is people all over Ohio especially, but even other places, are coming up with AI-generated pictures of beavers as their mascots and saying, this is our new mascot. And they're everywhere, and it's hilarious. This has been everywhere and all I've been seeing on the internet today. But what I think is going to happen is Buc-ee's is getting off too much bad publicity on this, and they'll probably stop the lawsuit before it becomes too much of a thing. But why can't that the picture it must show me in the link must be from the video clip. Like, give me the actual. Oh, company called Cincy Shirts has got T-shirts with the Beaver Mini Mart logo on it. I love it. So this is their logo. And how can you confuse that with Buc-ee's? I don't know. Let's see, 1592 Haines Road, 159. I've been to Beaver Creek, Ohio, but I've never been to this store.
How long? You don't know how long the Beaver Mini Mart has been there, do you?
Over 20 years.
20 years?
Yeah.
So, I can't imagine like Buc-ee's would win because they've already been there 20 years and it hasn't been a problem until this year.
Yeah, I can't either. I mean, I just think it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Even the governor is telling Buc-ee's, you know, and the governor was at the Buc-ee's grand opening when they opened up. Governor DeWine was. Let's see. I don't want video. Oh, there you go. Here's a good story. It shows you an actual picture of the mini mart. I mean, there's no way you're confusing this place with Bucky's. Not one way. First off, it don't even sell gas for that matter. And unlike Bucky's, the Beaver Mini Mart will let you park your truck there if you need to. Bucky's will not let semi trucks in. But I mean, how could you confuse that with the Bucky's? You can't. It's crazy.
But you gotta have your Bucky's, right?
Well, I mean, I don't have to have my Bucky's. It's nice. I do like their stuff. You know, but it is what it is. But anywho, now that it's on the recording, I can talk a little bit about my Mammoth March that I finished Saturday. And I definitely went longer this year, but that's for a good reason. Because about when I hit mile 13 or 14, it started to pour and pour and pour. And I got to that fifth mile 15 aid station, and I was stupid. And I kept going. But I did finish it. It was the toughest 5 miles I had ever hiked in my life. I slipped and racked my shoulder into a tree. And there's times I just decided, screw it. I sat down on the trail and scooted down the trail until I got to the point where I wouldn't. I thought I wouldn't slip and fall and got back up and started walking again. And
that's all you can do.
That's exactly it. But I made it through the end, and my pastor's son, he also made it. But my friend Josiah, they started off way early. You know, they were like 30, 40 minutes ahead of us when they started. And they were booking because we were kind of trying to outrun the rain. They made it, and when it did start raining, they started running, and that was a good move, because they probably hit some of that section of the trail. You're one of the first sets of people to go through it. By the time I got there, you know, there had already been a few hundred hikers through there, and it's a sloppy, muddy mess, and the mud's flowing down the trail, and there's not much you can do but go at that point. Because once you pass that mile 15 aid station, that's the last aid station. So there's nowhere else to go but
back to the
finish line. Yeah, so. But if you look at in the album I shared, you can see the picture of me with the trekking poles that aren't covered in mud. Right before I started that section. Yeah. And then you see me at the end where I got mud all up and down my legs. Yeah. But it was worth it. It was so much fun. But like I said, now it's got me thinking about, well, how can I avoid falling on my ass the next time? So we'll see if I ordered these things from CNOC called mud ponds. Unfortunately, they're clearing them out. So they were very cheap, $15, and I could try and 3D print something, but I think that probably would have not been great.
Well, they're obviously, you know, 3D printed. It's not going to last as long as the
exactly
store bought ones.
These are supposed to have like rice fibers in the rubber or something. I don't know. I didn't find a whole lot of videos on it, but I figured.
I like finding excuses to use my 3D printer.
Yeah, I know. I know. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But I ordered the men's large, so that should fit my 10.5 pretty good. Yeah, rice rice husk rubber. The harness material is made from TPU, and the strap material is nylon webbing. 8 to 10 millimeter lug lengths, and let's see, what's the lug lengths on my Lone Peaks? And I did a cardinal sin. I just threw my trail runners in the washer.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, you shouldn't do that, but I did, and they came out just fine.
How old were they?
I just bought them this year, so they're fine.
You should have just left them muddy and put them in a little frame or a little
box. No, I want to use them. I want to use them in September. So
get a new pair.
No. It's bad enough how often I buy road shoes. I just bought a pair of Asics Nova Blast 6s Friday. Haven't got the chance to run in them because I ain't felt like running. I haven't my energy like 2 days when I got up. I don't know. Garmin has this thing called a body battery, right? And even though I slept 2 days this week, I woke up with my body battery at a 5. That tells you how exhausted I was from this hike. So, okay, so the Lone Peak 9 lug lengths are 3 to 4 millimeters. The lug length on these Scenic mud ponds is 8 to 10 millimeters. So I got a lot more lug to grab with. So that's going to be a bonus. So we'll see. I'll have these in the pack. They don't weigh a lot, so I'll just throw them in the pack, and they'll just live there. I got to take my pack and brush all the dirt off and wash it out real good because it's got mud all over the bottom of it because that's where, you know, I slid on my butt. So, but, and Friday, I signed up for the 30-miler in Wisconsin. So it'd be my first visit to Wisconsin too. Have you guys been seeing much about these flock cameras?
Yeah, I've been seeing stuff about it.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk.
I mean, I'm convinced that a lot of people think they have flock cameras where they're at when they really don't. They'll see a camera and they'll think that flock cameras are there, but they're really not. I think that's happening. And I think a lot of folks really don't really realize what's a flock camera and what's not a flock camera and what's it for, too. Not saying that they can't be abused, because they certainly can be. Well, that's interesting, though. There's maps.dflock.org, which is an open-source volunteer-powered project for identifying and documenting automatic license plate readers, which apparently the Alpers are, or DFLOC, or flock cameras are. Just makes me wonder how they can determine that any camera that they see is a flock camera or not.
Yeah. You're gonna get a flock camera installed this outside your house?
Kind of already got one when you think about it. Got a doorbell camera. I know that there was a recent lawsuit locally here from where, let's see, Reynolds. Yeah, there's a Reynoldsburg police officer. It was just out today on the news. Resigned after alleged misuse of the flock cameras.
Yeah, evidently there's been a lot of cops getting caught stalking women using them.
Go figure, right? Who could have seen that coming?
Almost everybody. I mean, because anytime you give somebody a tool like this, somebody's gonna misuse it for something.
Yeah, why not, right?
Yep. I mean, there's a whole reason, I have actually, you know, one of my clients, and I ain't gonna say who it is, but one of my clients, Kamala Harris, got her law degree there. You can figure it out. All right. But when she was running for vice president, all over the place, we got, you should not be looking in there, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yep, okay, no problem. I don't want her to have any of her information anyway. So, yeah.
Well, I don't understand what you're saying there. They said you should not be looking at her information?
Yeah, because she went to school there.
Okay, so your job.
Theoretically, I have all the access I need to look up her transcript. Not that I will, because I won't.
But you can't do that for anybody.
This is true. This is true at any of our schools. Yeah. But again, I wouldn't do that because, you know, I am a good person. I would not ever do that because it just doesn't. First off, I don't want to risk my job. Second off, why? I don't care about that, you know? Especially since I probably don't know any of the people that are in it. But, anywho. It's just like anybody, you know, so I have the power to misuse data, but I'm not gonna, and I think we all do, anybody who is on this show, or probably a lot of our listeners.
There's a reason why I'm restricted on a lot of the activities that I'm allowed to do.
Exactly. Yep.
Money, 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 money.
Yep.
There you go, Joel. You can make all your money.
So I got to get back on the stick next week and get back to half marathon training. Not ran at all this week. Supposed to do 9 miles this weekend, but I don't think I'm going to do that either.
No?
No. My body battery gets back up above 50. If that happens, maybe. We'll see. I'm kind of hoping that our rucking group decides to do a ruck. They might.
You should just go do one yourself.
What, a ruck?
Yeah, or a run? There you go.
I mean, yeah, I mean,
you don't need
I've been
a group.
Known to do it. No.
Tell them, well, I need actually, you.
Actually, here's the cool thing, is I'm starting a ruck group at my church, probably.
Oh, so you're taking that over?
Yeah, well, my church ended boot camp like a couple weeks ago. The lady who did the coaching she can't do it no more. I don't feel qualified to do a boot camp workout, or to lead one. I can give them exercises and stuff like that, but I don't know all the specifics. Yeah, I don't have enough of the knowledge that she has that would be needed. If you know what I mean.
Right.
So in any event, the whole thing here is I want to start something that's accessible to anyone. And hearing the word boot camp mixed with a workout for some people, that can be kind of intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm figuring is starting a hike slash ruck group, so that I can get people out and moving. So what I'll probably do is I'll probably do a weekly ruck in the area, and then once a month we'll make an excursion to some place like Hargis Lake or to Cuyahoga Valley National Park or something, and do a ruck up there or hike up there, and just to get people moving, and you know, put incentives in there too, but you know, also combine the faith and fitness aspect, because that's really what's kind of worked for me, is just because I'm going to tell you, there's nothing that got me through the last 5 miles, but God at that point, because I there's many times during that thing, I was just like, I'm done. I was done. But, he kept me moving. So there was that. But, so I just want to give people a way that they can move and do things and, all that stuff. So. So we'll see how that works. I got to write up my thing, and I got to go through Thrive Group leader training, because what my intention is to start off with a prayer, stop about halfway through and either do another prayer or go around the horn and ask for prayer requests slash wins for the week. And then at the end, of course, pray them out. But just because, like, it was said best in our service last week, my pastor actually, it sounds like I am getting emotional over this, because my pastor spoke good to me from the pulpit again, because I knew this was coming, he was doing a piece on the boot camp group and how we ended, and he asked for my before and after pictures and asked me how much weight I lost, and I gave it to him, and he told the whole congregation, and I was just so overwhelmed by emotion by that, and I emailed him, I said, now I just want to help people do the same thing. That's what I want to do, you know. So I said, just because this season's ending with boot camp doesn't mean we can't have anything fitness related here. So that's my goal. So for this group. So I just got to figure out what day is going to work out the best for it. Tending probably Saturday, I'm thinking. But we'll see. I gotta kind of wrap my head around it and get things done. I got a week or so before the before I need to get turned in, but I'll probably have it turned in by the 8th, I think. But I just gotta wrap my head around it and think about it. So, but Ohio State Fair's this weekend. I don't even know if I want to go. Fair food's not really that compatible with how I want to eat anymore.
You don't want to eat anymore?
Oh, no, I just don't want to eat the kind of food you'd find at a state fair.
Oh, at a state fair. Oh, so you're not going to go this year?
I don't know. We probably will, but if we go, I'll eat something. I mean, I will say this. At least I can find enough variety that I can definitely find something that I can eat. So, but it's like not, I will say it's not as fun going to the fair with that kind of perspective. But, you know, I don't want to lose what I got. And that's been my primary thing with this week, because, like I got finished with that hike, and I felt good Saturday, Sunday, but I got up Monday, and I just felt awful, and I had no energy. And then, of course, yesterday I took the day off work and went to a minute clinic because I think I had a sinus infection flare-up. And, I was just, so I haven't hit my step goal since Saturday. So when I got 50,000 steps on the trail, but being all gas and no brakes is not always good, and that's kind of how I've been. So that's kind of way I'm looking at it a little bit. So, and I'll get back to it. So even if I don't do the long run this week, which is 9 miles this week, next week's long run is 6 miles. So I'll do that and get back into it. So, I will say I've not gained any weight since Sunday, so that's good.
Yeah, I think you're gonna be fine, man. I won't stress over
just resting
about it.
My feet. Yeah,
rest is equally as important as working out, and you're gonna get back into it. You've been doing this for what, 2 years now?
Yep.
I don't think you're just gonna stop because Joe told you to, right?
No, nope. But it's like somebody has asked me before at church, like, when are you going to stop? I'm like, I'm not. I mean, that's the thing.
How'd they ask that? Like, they're like, what do they mean? Like, when, like, or why did they ask that?
I don't know.
That's weird.
Well, that's like, well, this is the lady who I'm so damn proud of, because last year she ran she did a 5K. It was a walk. She walked the 5K, but she did it. And for her, that was a big deal because she's got issues going on with her knees. So we got 6, 9, 10, and 11, and 8, and 12. Those are some of the upcoming long runs, and then going into the months of the half marathon, there's only an 8, a 6, and a 1 on the weekend. So I just want to get a respectable time for my first half marathon. Looking at at least want to get I guess my goal is 2 hours. I don't know whether I'll do that or not, but what was this time last year? I was down in Texas in the heat.
Yeah. But you didn't go see Joe.
Oh, I was a little far from Joe to see him. McAllen's a little far.
That's a lot far. Yeah. Really? Yeah.
And I had no car, so yeah. Just had this van they had. But it's funny, I'm seeing they're doing their VBS, and it looks like they're just doing it on their own this year. Which is great, because I love that church down there. There are a lot of good people in that church. And kind of the whole trip changes your perspective on the border stuff.
You gonna do that again this year?
No.
It's a lot of work, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a lot of physical hard work. And not to mention the fact, the whole family that went down with us, they kind of, I don't think they left the church necessarily, but they kind of haven't been going.
Are they on another retreat?
No, they're starting their own ministry, I think.
Oh, you going to go join them?
No, it's not a church. I mean, I could help them do things, but I would, you know.
Do they need to have a church to sponsor? Like,
no.
A ministry. So I'm assuming their ministry is going to be doing the retreat stuff kind of like full time or something?
Well, it's kind of with a different focus on the area. They're kind of doing, it's called Kinfolk Ministries, and it's kind of kicked off from what they did with their coffee truck, because they used to own a coffee truck. And it's to serve like southern Franklin County and Pickaway County. And their first thing is actually this coming Sunday at 5, where they're giving away free book bags, free supplies, free hot dogs, free iced coffee until they run out. And they're going to have like a sand volleyball, wiffle ball, and yard games and stuff like that. And so they kind of been doing like a little home church there too. So, I mean, but Tommy doesn't really have, he's not really, you know, doesn't have all the stuff trained for. He's not a pastor necessarily, you know. If he's close to a pastor, he'd be a lay pastor, so, you know. But that's okay. No one said you had to be a pastor to start a ministry like that. So it's a good thing. But
plenty of work for you. Plenty of work for you.
Here's also, you know, like I said, that rec group is probably going to be one of the things I want to do. I might look at also possibly doing a book too, but maybe once the weather gets horrible, we can do the book instead. Or we can kind of switch back and forth, do the book on some weeks and do a book on some weeks and do a ruck on other weeks. Cause I want everyone to tie that with it, how important it is for you to take care of yourself, by the biblical word. You know, if you read the Bible, it literally tells you you're supposed to do that. And there's so many people that go to church that don't do that. Case in point, church potlucks. And I'm fully glad that my pastor doesn't have very many of them. It helps keep people eating well, you know. Anyway, that said, I'm going to be a great uncle twice over now. My niece Sierra is pregnant with a little baby girl, and my nephew Brady got his girlfriend pregnant.
Congratulations.
So that'll be fun. Great uncles are even better than just uncles. Because you rarely will get to see the kid. Anywho. I know my wife had it with Bodie today. They took him to the dog park, and he knocked her on her ass a couple times.
Uh-oh.
Does Zeus do that to your wife?
No, my wife doesn't take my dog for a while. I'll take him. She's done it before, but he's not so bad anymore because he's kind of oldish. But when he pulls, yeah. he dragged one of my daughters down about 10 feet or so before she let go.
Bodie is like. Like, especially if you go out right after a rain, Bodie is hilarious because he can find any random frog that's on the sidewalk. Because we have bullfrogs in the two retention ponds near our house, and they will come up out of those ponds and hop around the grass and on the sidewalk, right? He's picked one up before and mouthed it. Luckily, didn't kill it, but... And then me and him were walking earlier, and he found a dead bird. I'm like, dude, you're gross. You know. And then I get home, I fill his bowl full of food and water. And, of course, he sucks that all right up, right, you know. And he grabs his tennis ball with his mouth that just had a whole ton of water in it and just covered in slobber. And he's like, Dad, I want to play fetch. And I'm like, gross. I'm like, I grabbed it like with my fingertips and my thumb and kind of just tossed it away just because I wanted that nasty thing away from me. Ugh. He has no concept of space. He's 75 plus pounds, thinks he's a lap dog. She's definitely not a lap dog, but... Oh, but It's okay. I'm used to it by now.
Wait, did Joe come back?
I don't know.
I'm here.
Oh, Joe. Guess what? Guess what I did.
What'd you do?
Ate dinner.
What you've been telling me to do for a while now.
Brad, Dungeon Crawler Carl.
Well, I started Dungeon Crawler. I just got it yesterday.
The first book?
I started it. I don't know what I was thinking about the book. I was like, it is completely literal. The title is completely literal.
Very,
and it
very
is crazy.
Literal.
And I'm like, oh my goodness, why didn't I didn't know what to expect, but that was it. And I'm like, I'm only like the first 10 pages, and only had a few minutes to check it out. And I'm loving it, man. I'm loving it so far. I dig it. I dig the concept. Now, without the risk of any spoilers, I look at this concept and I'm like, how is it going to be extended across 8 books? And I'm assuming
there's 17 floors that they talk about. 18 or something like that.
So I guess they don't give any of it away for me yet. I'm looking forward.
Yeah, you're still early in the first book, so yeah, you might not have read about that part yet, but you will. And it sounds like there's only going to be like 9 books total, but the 9th book is going to be split into 2, so 10 books technically.
Oh, is this Harry Potter series movies?
Sort of, and they are doing a TV show.
Interesting. What's that going to be on?
Is it Apple? Hold on.
So where I'm at right now is he just walked in. You know, the voice read
him and the cat
rules,
just walked in.
They read the rules and he was out and had to get out of the cold. So he walked into the first, I guess, door, whatever. And that's where I'm at. That's where I had to stop yesterday.
Like, they're still at the casting level, and it's Peacock. It's going to be
Peacock. Oh, cool.
It.
That's cool. I like
that. Speaking of Peacock, you know, if you have YouTube Premium, you get Peacock for the ad-supported version of Peacock for free now.
Yeah, you were talking about that last week, but that's... Yeah. Wait, is it YouTube TV or YouTube Premium?
Premium. YouTube Premium. So...
How do I... Let me... Because I am subscribed to YouTube Premium. So, how do you get to Peacock, I guess? I guess, is that over there on the movies and TV?
Peacock.com?
No, I mean from YouTube.
Oh. I thought you just signed in with your Google credentials, I think. I don't know. Let me sign in. I haven't been signed into it for a while.
Good Lord. You'd think if it was being offered, they would make it easy to find. I guess not. Primetime channels and Peacock's not on it. Why is...
Well, let me sign into Peacock and see what happens. Let's see. Let's see. See all plans. Monthly, annually. What about the bundles? If you have Apple TV and Peacock, you get Peacock Premium for $14 a month. Premium Plus for that. I don't know. Let me see. How to get ad supported.
Okay, Peacock Premium with ads included in tier. It's starting in early 2027.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. For eligible U.S. subscribers. I don't know what that means.
Says how will the rollout work? Must have a standard blah blah blah. Okay. Cheaper YouTube Premium Lite plan is excluded from this. That is, if you pay, because if you pay for Google One, as I found out, oh, I sorted that out, by the way. I don't remember if I talked about it here or not, but I do pay for Google One, which gives you like the paid version of Gemini and stuff like that, right? Well, I got a thing in email that says, "Hey, you're paying for YouTube Premium twice," and I'm like, "Oh, okay, that's not good." So, because I had a regular YouTube Premium subscription, well, I kind of came to find out that the YouTube Premium Lite that they were talking about, which is a part of Google One, is ad supported, especially not for the premium YouTube stuff, but for the music, which is what I use a lot of. I mean, don't get me wrong, I use YouTube Premium too, but like all my playlists for my hikes and my runs are in YouTube Music. Not so much hikes, but more runs. But you know, because I need that extra motivation when I'm running. You know, and a good beat helps motivate me. But so I waited till like things like all kind of settled, and then I fell into the YouTube Premium Lite, and then I went back into YouTube Premium and said, "Oh, upgrade to Premium." I'm like, "Oh, okay, cool. I'll go back to Premium because I don't want any of the ads." The Premium is only like $15.99 a month anyway, but. So it seems kind of dumb to announce that thing this soon. Although I will say here, we got a new event here for Google next week with the Pixel phones, the new Pixel phones for this year, which right now rumor has it is they're going to be $100 more because, you know, RAM, whatnot. They're also supposed to have, I think the latest spec on that is 2 nanometer, I think, for the processor on the Tensor T6. Let me see here. Yeah, Tensor G6 built on the 2 nanometer process, Titan M3 security chip, MediaTek 5G modem, 12 gig base model or 16 gig higher tiers. I will say the base model RAM did drop because of the RAM prices. So the base model used to be 16 as well, but now it's only 12. I'm not going base model because I want 512 meg. Or gig, I mean, at least 512 gig is what I need. But, and the probably the bigger thing with the new Pixel phones are going to be the, they really haven't figured out what to call it. Some of them call it Google Blur or let's see, I'm trying to remember what they call it. I don't really think nobody really knows what they're calling it. Or, Glow, maybe, I think it is. Ooh, new story actually from yesterday.
What's that?
Pixel 11 just got even more boring as Pixel Glow will reportedly only do two basic things. So it will do. And I'll put that in the, let me put that in mobile. It might also not launch with Glow as its name, might be something else. Only perform two functions. So it's going to use subtle light and color on the back of your device to inform you of important activity when it's face down. That's one feature. And somebody else posted that the feature would actually be called Highlight instead of Pixel Glow. Basically, what it sounds like to me is a return of LED notifications that we had at the very beginning. Because I remember we used to have that kind of thing when we had our first Android phones ever, like the G1s. And I don't, what was your first Android phone, Dan? Do you remember anymore?
Oh my goodness.
You did not have a Nexus. I know Pat had the new Nexus One back in the day.
I don't remember what it was. I might even have it downstairs.
Yeah, I had the first one. I had the G1.
It wasn't.
You didn't have a G1, I know that much.
I thought I had. Wait, didn't I have a G something at one point?
Maybe it was the one after that.
My gosh, man. I can't imagine it was any more than, like, I don't think I would have paid any more than $300-$400 for
it or
something.
I know Link had the first Droid. Or some Motorola one. T-Mobile MyTouch 3G, maybe? No. And you never got into ROMing your phone either. Unlike me and Pat, who had G1s.
I had the HTC HD2, which is like the most ROMed phone ever.
Which one?
HTC HD2.
Okay. I know the G1, you practically had to make the damn thing ROM. Load a ROM on it, because otherwise it was pretty awful without it. Nah, it can't have been this thing. Do you remember, did it have a ball on it, Dan?
A
like
ball?
A trackball? Like a trackball?
No.
Okay. So it can't have been the MyTouch 3G. And you didn't have one with a slide-out keyboard either, if I remember right. I had several. I had the G1. Then when I went back to Verizon, I got the Droid 2. Been with Verizon ever since. I had the Note 3 at one point. I had the Note 10 Plus. The Note 6, I think I had. I had the Motorola Z-Force Droid, which that was a mistake. I really was hoping Motorola was going to do something with the... That's the one that had the magnetic accessory deals. You know, like, you do, like, a magnetic battery pack, or, like, it had a magnetic camera. And really, that's all there was. I mean, there was a speaker... few other things. But I've seen a lot of people are complaining about the fact that there's pretty much Google and Samsung are all that's left with higher end Android phones. Which is not altogether true, but then you had OnePlus is basically pulling out of the North American market.
Why are they pulling out of the North American market?
Probably because they never had a single carrier over here.
Oh, they didn't?
No.
But their phones could work on any carrier, couldn't it?
I don't know. Yes, the OnePlus has officially announced its complete exit from the North American and European markets.
Well, are they just Asian now?
It's what it sounded like. I mean, their phones were made by Oppo.
Well, I guess, I mean, couldn't you just plug whatever sim you want? Or I guess they're all eSIMs now, right?
I was going to say, good luck with that, because they're mostly all eSIMs, yeah.
I mean, does it really matter? I mean, don't most phones, aren't they compatible across all the networks now? What is it?
You were thinking back in the day of LTE and
No. Wait, what is that? What was that? It wasn't, I mean, I guess there was that, but wasn't there I think it was AT&T or something, or was it Verizon?
GSM, and then what Verizon used to run.
Right. So that's all worked out now, isn't it?
For the most part, I think. But so let's see. I'm going on the Verizon website only because that's my carrier.
I mean, what would prevent you from taking any phone that has eSIM support and just signing up for whatever?
We'd have to have the frequency support. So you got Samsung, Motorola, Google, Kyocera.
Right.
Kyocera is those fat work phones, you know, the ones that are designed you can drop off the top of the house.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
But they all work on with the carrier's frequencies, right? I mean,
not necessarily. I know. One of the things that I always wanted to run. What was the Linux-based phone? It was made by FIC back in the day. What was that? I want to say Odroid, but that's not right.
I don't remember the name, but I know what you're talking about.
Right, because I had one for a little bit.
But that was because the chip, right? It being an open source chip or something like that, open spec chip or whatever, they didn't have, like, there was that questionability
or something. The Neo 1973. I never could get that to work on Verizon's network.
It wouldn't support the frequencies?
Yeah.
Why is that? Is that because of the chip that was in there, or is it a software?
Kind of both.
Was there some legal legal framework around that or something where that couldn't be open because of risk of...
It was mostly frequencies.
Yeah, because you can't allow somebody to switch onto a frequency that... Like, and if it was, quote, open source, they could go in and change it themselves to go on to restricted frequencies.
I don't think it was anything like that. I don't think it was anything like that. It's just that it just never supported the frequency. Okay, so here it goes. OpenMoco Neos 1973 never supported Verizon, and that's because it had incompatible network technology. It was based on GSM, not CDMA. That's what Verizon used to use.
It had
a hardware lockout. GSM networks like T-Mobile relied on SIM cards, whereas Verizon 2G and 3G CDMA required devices to be hard-coded on the proprietary hardware registry and carrier restrictions. Because it was designed as a completely open-source, hacker-friendly Linux phone, it clashed heavily with the lockdown proprietary network policies that Verizon favored at the time.
Right, so that's not an issue anymore, right? So
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure it's not. But like,
I know that
you
OnePlus. They're not like the times that, like, I know the time of Verizon holding up a firmware update is pretty much done, because I've never like I just got my August update this week, exactly when everybody else did, for my Pixel 9 Pro XL. So, and I get them consistently every month. And most of these phones' interfaces now are not heavily skinned anymore. They're using either modified versions of the default Android skin or something very lightweight comparatively. Like One UI, which is what Samsung uses, it's not that bad. Joe can attest to that.
Yeah, Joel.
Sorry, I was holding another conversation. I'll have to get back to you guys in a minute.
Okay.
You got more important things to do for the last 6 minutes of the show.
It is almost 10 o'clock.
My wife is way more important than you guys.
You're damn right.
I agree.
You better be paying attention to what she has to say.
I agree.
Don't listen to us.
Yep.
Only a fool would listen to us. How's your Ashy OS doing over there?
It's doing fine.
You still using it?
Yep. I'm using it tonight.
How's it updating for you? Does that run pretty smooth?
Yep.
But what was y'all's question for me?
They say Samsung's UI or One UI is pretty lightweight, right?
As far as I know. I haven't checked resources with it versus something else. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I haven't done a comparison. See how much it uses compared to something else.
Well, nothing like Moto Blur was back in the day. Or any of the other, like TouchWiz. Remember TouchWiz?
I went to Micro Center the other day. That was fun.
Oh, you know, it's funny you mentioned Micro Center. They're remodeling the Columbus one. And
the Micro Center?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember when it's supposed to be done. I think it's almost done. Shows you how often I go to Micro Center, which is not often. No, I go to the Run store now more than I do the computer store anymore.
Yeah, I had gotten a $25 gift card for birthday.
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't pick up anything crazy, but I had fun looking around. I picked up 1 foot Ethernet cables that were on sale, and
nice.
I picked up a nice pair of wire strippers.
I'll say this: a week ago Tuesday, they had the ASICS Energy event with the Eastern Run Club, and I did go to that, and they gave you the opportunity to try. In fact, I talked about that, didn't I? Yeah. I got to try the ASICS Super Blast 3, which I really, really want, but I couldn't afford. But they gave me a $50 gift card, and then Columbus Running let me combine that with my reward points, so I only pay $96 for those Nova Blast 6. So, which is a really good price for an up-to-date running shoe. I still want those Super Last 3s, though. I will say this, though. Not that I'll ever have to worry about that, but do you know that those are illegal to use if you're an elite runner? Because of the stack? Elite runners can only run on shoes that are 40 millimeters or lower stack-wise. Supposedly, they get more of an advantage with them. I don't know.
Not as much as you get with all those peptides you're taking.
What peptide? Proteins. I only take protein, which is a peptide. August 22nd is when Columbus Micro Center reopens. They're actually open to the renovation, but the grand reopening is the 22nd. The first 1,000 customers in line receive a $25 gift card, and the first 100 receive a swag bag. Attendees can score a free limited edition Micro Center Columbus mug and 128 GB flash drive with an event sign up. Launch day features live PC builds, vendor demonstrations, and learning workshops. I just hope they don't nerf the Maker Zone. Their Maker Zone was pretty nice. where they had all their 3D printers and stuff. And if Inland Filament, which I do like Inland Filament, it works well. You ever use the Inland Filament?
Yeah, when it's on sale.
Yeah, it's usually pretty cheap, even when it's not on sale.
Yeah, but I usually only buy filament when it's on sale.
I will say this, drop into Hobby Lobby, you can get filament cheap there too.
And there's not usually as cheap as I can get it on Amazon.
That's true. That's probably true.
I mean, I can usually get like $10 a roll if I wait for sales, or less, depending.
I haven't opened any of my recent stuff yet.
Last time I picked up 4 rolls of Pet G, something dollars, $33, I think, total. So, yeah, really good price.
They're going to start carrying Ubiquiti routers at Micro Center. That's a good thing.
Ubiquiti is one of the ones that...
pro-level networking gear.
Will still be selling this time next year.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep, especially if they get stupid on those restrictions.
They're already getting stupid on those restrictions.
Yeah. Ooh, they'll have hands-on with the NVIDIA DGX Spark. Have you even heard of that?
Or what?
The NVIDIA DGX Spark is built around Grace Blackwell architecture, system on chip design, key to its performance, highly integrated configuration with 20 core ARM processor, 10 Cortex X925 performance cores with 10 Cortex A725 efficiency cores, Blackwell architecture GPU with 6,144 CUDA cores in the same package. It's basically an AI PC. That's interesting. AI stuff. That's one thing you can say about AI is it's driving some innovation in hardware. For sure. Anyway. All right.
Just for graphics cards.
Yep.
Gotta wrap it up. Joel needs to get his steps in, right?
I do.
Yeah, all right. So I'm going to play us out. You guys have a great week. Welcome to August. Here it is, your promo.
I am sure.
Oh my God.
It's Hacker
Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Mmm. Nice.
Yay. Ugh. I'm still pretty damn beat, though. But I'll get better. Planning a workout tomorrow morning, so... probably legs. That's the only part of me that I feel like working out. Right now, my right shoulder is better, but it still hurts. And if I train my shoulders, I'm going to probably injure them.
Well, since I'm working from home tomorrow, I'll probably try and get some cardio in the morning.
Bicycle.
Stationary on that one.
Yep.
While it's nice and cool.
That's a good idea.
and try, you know.
That's the one thing that weather was good at the hike, was that the temp didn't go above 80. But screw that, rain was still horrible. I was sloppy, muddy mess. So, see you guys next week.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Take it easy, Joe.
A fan that I have.
Can't
it was blowing in the general direction of my microphone.
It was fogging in your general direction.
I didn't hear
something
your,
like that.
I didn't hear your fan at all, man. So just so we're on the same all on the same page.
Yeah, same here.
It might have been suppressed, but it was impacting my voice activity.
It annoyed you.
It was leaving my mic turned on.
Yeah, you look at those pictures, you're going to see the most dirty version of me you've ever seen. For sure.
I don't know. Dan's seen you drunk at a hotel.
That's nothing compared to this.
Drunk laying on Dave's bed. Crying.
Oh, that was not me. That was 3:30, man.
No, it's Pegwell. Wasn't it Pegwell who stayed with Dave?
No, 3:30 down at Southeast Linux Fest when it was in Spartanburg at the one time. So I remember Dave talking about how bad 3:30's feet smelled. Yeah, I'm finally feeling semi-human today. Because I think, like I said, I think Monday, I had a sinus infection that just flared up, and it was really bad. Finally, got out. I'm over 10,000 already. Yeah, I'm at 11,000 right now for today, I think. So just had to go for another walk.
Yeah, I got my blood work done again.
Uh-oh.
Once again, they are unhappy with my creatinine levels, and, you know, try to explain the whole
thing. Once again, you can tell them, screw off.
Look, it's barely outside of the range.
Why are they even worried, then?
I'm taking a creatine supplement. I work out heavy often, and I have a high volume of muscle, and I'm on a high protein diet. My kidneys are fine.
I'm going to have a lower weight leg day tomorrow, I think. I'm not going to run this week.
The only thing that I did find concerning was my triglycerides again.
Oh, that's not good.
But, and this is, you know, an excuse. Don't get me wrong.
Too much ninja premium?
No, absolutely not. I don't put sugar in that. I have been eating too much sugar. I will admit that. But a large problem is I haven't been doing as much cardio because I've been having to go to freaking physical therapy for my hip again. You know how difficult it is to do any type of running when your hip is all jacked up?
Yeah, I do. I do. I can say the same thing for my lower back or...
My lower back, too.
My shoulder. Cause I think I stressed my lower back, too, as well. Because it was kind of... It wasn't, like a lot of pain, but just a little pain. You know, but...
And my other, you know, activity that I enjoy, you know, bike riding in the evenings, I don't like doing it when it's 100-something degrees.
Yeah.
What? Why not? Makes you feel alive.
Because it's 100-something degrees. Or dead. It makes you feel dead.
I did order something that might help me with the next hike that's just covered in mud like this one. It was something called Mud Ponds. Think crampons, but for mud. Yeah, that might help. It's a little bit. They're a little bit thicker lugs than my standard trail runners. And you can just belt over them. I ordered. They were like $15. Because it must be getting ready to bring out number two. Technically, you can probably put these on road shoes and hike with those, but I'd never do that. It's like some woman I saw on the trail Saturday who was out there hiking in Hoka Bondi 9s, which those are road shoes, man. She was sliding. I have no idea. I passed her because she fell. she was fine. Yeah, she was fine. And they were her friends were helping her get up, but she was just all over the place. It's just like, I mean, I ain't gonna lie. I fell too hard. Oh, I racked my shoulder up against a tree, which was oh so much fun. It sounded worse than it was because I had my trekking poles out and they were clattering all over the place. My glasses went flying. Fortunately, they didn't break. But yeah, it was a hell of a day. Those last 5 miles are some of the roughest 5 miles I'd ever hiked, ever.
So those are cleats that you attach to the bottom of your shoe?
Yep, basically, yeah. They're light enough.
Don't you have a 3D printer?
There's no way you'd print something that would last as long as these. These are actually made out of true rubber.
Yeah, but how much do these cost?
$15.
No, that's not bad.
On clearance, as they were on clearance, actually. Because they're getting ready to bring out version 2, apparently. But they've been on clearance since 2019, though, from what I've heard.
But how many pairs could you print out for $15?
Probably not enough.
20? 30?
Yeah. And it wouldn't be as well engineered as these are, because there's no way I can engineer them as well. These are made by CNOC. Actually, let me look at the CNOC website. My trail runners have pretty decent lugs on them, but on as much mud as there was, no way. No way. Yeah. I mean, I'm literally watching mud flow down the trail the whole time. In the last 5 miles, it was just great.
So yeah, on Thingiverse, there are some cleats that you can add to the bottom of your shoes, either for mud or snow.
I don't have any. I only have a little bit of TPU left.
I don't think it's TPU.
Yeah, it wouldn't be solid enough, probably.
Okay.
Dun, dun, dun. Is it time to start the show?
Yes, let's go. I still gotta wash my pack yet. Ugh.
This is episode 1,145. Woo! All right. Is everything going here? Yeah.